Ignition, Chapter 6, Stage 5, Value Creation. Creating your own products can seem daunting at first, because most beginner entrepreneurs think you need to be some kind of expert to create something that people find valuable or have an existing following to sell these products to. However, there are ways to shortcut this process and sell them effortlessly, even if you're a complete beginner and your audience is currently sitting at zero. Specifically, I'm talking about PLR products. PLR stands for Private Label Rights, and although there are a few variations of this name, the main premise is that you can buy the rights to other people's products to sell them as your own, as if you created them yourself. This is completely different from affiliate marketing, where everything you promote is still in somebody else's name. Instead, I'm talking about buying the rights to their products to allow yourself to change the author's name, the content inside it, the branding, the marketing, and everything you can think of to make it your own. Simply type PLR Store into your favorite search engine to get a wide selection of results. Some of them will be monthly membership sites, and others will provide a way for you to purchase each product individually. Just be sure to 1. Check the quality of the product before purchasing, as some of them are super outdated and look like they were created back in 1999. The more up-to-date it is, with the most value being given to the customer, the better. 2. Check the terms of the license associated with the product, as some of them have restrictions on what you can and can't do. If you really like the product but it has restrictive license terms, you can void the terms if you modify the product by 50% or more, as then it becomes your own property and you can do whatever you want with it. But I'm not a lawyer, so please double check with a lawyer on this one just to be sure. 3. Usually the best and most valuable products are priced around $50 to $100, some priced much higher if they restrict the number of licenses sold. But you can always find bargains below $20 if you look in the right places. By using this PLR product as a springboard, you can quickly create your own best-selling product line with a fraction of the effort. That's what I did with a piece of software to create squeeze pages back in the day when WordPress was very basic and web page creation tools were difficult to come by. I bought the PLR rights to the software, rebranded it to make it my own, then sold it at $7 with the option to include two products of my own with their order. Doing this, I was able to make a profit on my traffic on day one of people clicking on my ads. It was a good time to be alive. Just don't fall into the big trap that a lot of other people do and sell them as is, without any changes. Otherwise, you'll be doing exactly the same thing as thousands of other marketers and giving your prospects no reason whatsoever to buy from you over everyone else. If you do this, the only kind of activity you'll get when you advertise them is a few tumbleweeds blowing from one end of your laptop screen to the other. However, if you feel you have a lot of value to share with the world and would prefer to do this from scratch, that's great too. We'll talk about the specifics of how to do this later. Whichever path you take, you should always be learning as much as possible while teaching your existing knowledge, even if it's just one thing that other people don't know. For example, when I first got started, I taught people everything I knew about one specific type of web page I'd learned about in my nighttime web design college classes. At first, I thought people wouldn't be interested in it, but truthfully, people loved it because it helped them to get their message out to the world, and it later turned into the business I have today. So, don't let any doubts or your lack of knowledge hold you back from your success. Teaching people anything that is interesting to them is putting yourself in a position of authority, which results in people instantly seeing you as an authority figure, even if underneath you may be shaking like a leaf. You just need to know one thing about your topic that they don't. Your audience is then built at the same time as this authority status, not before or after. But if you're not willing to build this authority status as you go along for some reason, you can increase this authority status and credibility pretty quickly in a few ways, even if nobody knows who you are. 1. Learn as much as you can about your topic. The more you know about it, the more of an expert you will be perceived to be. 2. Speak on stage about your topic and get a ton of photos of you doing so. It doesn't need to be a huge venue. Even at your local Toastmasters club, networking club or similar would be fine. Whenever you're elevated above other people in a room and teaching them something, it's always going to make people see you as more of a credible expert. 3. Appear on TV. Any good PR company will be able to get you a slot on a local TV station talking about your topic. Just one small clip of you being interviewed on there will help you to be seen as a credible expert on your topic. We did this for another client in the mindfulness niche and used the video clips in her advertising, and we didn't have a single person say, "Why should I listen to you?" It was magnificent to see. 4. Write a value-giving article and get it published on authoritative websites and media sources in your niche. Again, a PR company could easily help you achieve this. We don't care about the exposure on the actual website here. The most important thing is being able to use an as seen on section on your web pages and in your marketing. For example, getting an article published on entrepreneur.com would mean you can use as seen on with the Entrepreneur magazine logo. Do this for a whole bunch of popular websites and you'll have yourself a whole section of logos to use in this as seen on section, which adds a massive amount of instant credibility to everything you say. One of our clients in the niche of saving money on college fees has one that includes Money Magazine, The Washington Post and more. Pretty cool, right? Would you consider that person an expert, even if you didn't know who they were? Whether you care about the authority status stuff or not, it's simply not enough to have a product. You also need to make sure it provides value to people. Otherwise, you're going to get a lot of refunds and very little future purchases of your other products and/or services. The best way to ensure this is to plan out your product before creating or editing anything. Because if you go full steam ahead with the content, you'll often realize you've forgotten to say something earlier on in the product and have to bolt things together like some kind of weird disjointed Frankenstein product. This planning process doesn't just apply to a single product either. Ideally, your end goal should be to have a whole suite of products for different topic areas of your chosen niche. This makes it so much easier to make a profit while never running out of things to promote. This does sound like a lot of work at first, but remember, you only need to do this once and you can continue to sell them for several years to come without much updating or editing at all. Before you can come up with a plan, you need to identify if you're in a business-to-business, B2B niche, or business-to-customer, B2C niche. A few examples of B2B niches are business consulting, providing services as an agency, social media marketing, the medical arena, e.g. dentists, doctors, chiropractors, and so on, branding agencies, and similar. Typically, a B2B niche has higher price points and focuses more on services than products. So in this case, your plan should include 1. An entry-level offer, $497. Most people who've never heard of you before are often hesitant to spend $3,000 right off the bat with you and will need some kind of low-risk transaction to make them feel comfortable with you first. This product or service delivers a good amount of value for the price and gives your clients the results they need to have a natural desire to work with you at the higher price points. My go-to example here is a training program to achieve a specific end goal, delivered in video format, but of course feel free to use your own ideas and creativity here too. 2. A high ticket offer, $3,000 to $5,000. This is often a group coaching program or a one-on-one consulting package. I prefer group coaching programs as you're not trading your time for dollars like you would with a one-on-one consulting service. Plus, your results are usually better because there's a motivating sense of community between your clients. But we'll talk more about this type of offer later in this book. 3. A super high ticket offer, $20,000 plus. This is often an intensive retreat, a service where you do something for them, or anything with life-changing amounts of value. Example, in my business, I build a profitable online business for people in a niche of their choice and hand it back to them when it's making $10,000 in net profit per month for 6 consecutive months. So basically, people trade $20,000 for a minimum of $60,000 back, along with the $10,000 plus monthly income from their profitable business. The service sold out every time I reopened it for new clients. High value equals high prices with little resistance if you're marketing to the right people. Make it a no-brainer for people. Of course, you can fill in the gaps between these price points or have other products or services at the same price points, but this is a good overall flow to start with. Alternatively, a business-to-customer B2C niche is anything where you're talking to average members of the public with niches including health, fitness, self-development, mindfulness, survival or preparedness, relationships, dog training, and so on. They typically have lower price points, as your customers aren't trading dollars for more dollars. So in this case, you'll need 1. A low-ticket offer, $7 to $27. Similar to the B2B niche, people will rarely be willing to spend $3,000 in your first interaction, as they need to make sure you can actually help them before they make a large commitment. That's where this low-ticket offer comes in. Due to the nature of business and the cost of advertising, the sole purpose of this low-ticket product is to break even on any type of advertising spend and acquire a customer into your business. Then you make a profit from your other products and services. Some examples include a video course focusing on one aspect of your audience's big goal, a book like this one, yes, this is being used as my front-end offer, an audio interview series, a basic version of a software tool, or anything similar. This product purchase will also typically be followed by 2 optional upgrades called upsells to maximize the lifetime customer value, LCV for short, which will also complement the main front-end product, not replace it. 2. An optional upsell, $37. In this separate product, you should give them something to swipe and deploy right away to get immediate gratification. It's important not to give them another course, as they'll feel they already have enough to go through with your front-end offer and decline it. Also, this product should make sense to people, whether they buy your front-end offer or not, as you may wish to swap the order of your products in the future to create a different way in to your product line. Some examples include cheat sheets, implementation plans, fill-in-the-blank templates, something where you've done some of the work for them, or anything similar. 3. A second optional upsell, $97. A more in-depth training around one more difficult area of the main product, or a more advanced topic not covered in the main program, usually works best here. For example, a big thing that people struggle with is content creation. So in one of my product lines, I offer an upsell where they can legally use other people's content as their own. People can still get some incredible results from using the guidance in the main program, but can often improve their results and make things so much easier for themselves if they get this optional Content Vault upsell. 4. A mid-ticket offer, $497. As we're stepping up the price point, we also need to step up the value we provide. The best way to do this is provide a service to people, often where you do something for them. In my business, I set up a website, support desk, sales funnel, dedicated customer members area, and blog for people. Kind of like an online business starter pack. It's easier to think of an idea for this in some niches than others, but my go-to for niches where this proves difficult is some kind of personalized experience. For example, for one of my clients in the survival or preparedness niche, we created a survival score diagnosis for the customer based on their readiness for an emergency and current skills. After their payment, upfront in full or split between 2 monthly payments, payments, the customer fills in a questionnaire which is automatically shown to them after their purchase, and my client scores them and sends them ready-made video tutorials to help them improve the areas in which they're failing. Really, this boils down to sending them an assessment of their current situation and giving personalized recommendations to improve. But any idea would work here, as long as you're giving a personalized service of some kind. Primarily, this will be sold within your customer's members area and follow-up sequence. But if it makes sense, you can also add this as a third optional upsell to your low-ticket offer to get it some more exposure, with your customer's payment method already in hand. I've laid out these products in the order that the customer will typically buy them. Some customers will leapfrog some products onto the next, and some will go straight into the mid-ticket offer from the beginning. But this format is the one that has been the most effective for my business and my clients' businesses too. Notice here that each product does not require people to buy the next product in the sequence to actually use their original product. That's the equivalent of selling somebody a car and then telling them they have to pay extra for the wheels. It's a real jerk move, and shady marketers doing this is one of the reasons people become jaded with this industry. Instead, they should be able to gain a huge amount of value from each product, whether they purchase anything else from you or not. The products should be independent of each other, without requiring anything else to make them work. This is not only better ethics, but it'll also increase your customer satisfaction, which in turn will increase your future sales from those same customers, without having to force them into buying something grudgingly. Creating the topics for each offer in your product line is probably the most difficult part to get right, as you need to know exactly what your customers actually want instead of what you think they want. These are usually two different things. For example, people in the weight loss niche will often complain about all the fad diets out there, but then will happily jump right into purchasing a product about one if they see one. Also, I'd love to create an entire product about having a good business mindset, as it's like trying to swim upstream without one. Yet people will happily ignore that and go straight into the how-to of setting up their business all day long. So, be sure to spend time revisiting your research around your prospects here, knowing exactly what they want to buy. If you're still not 100% certain what they would crawl over broken glass to buy, create an MVP. MVP stands for Minimum Viable Product, and it means you should create just the bare foundations of a product just to get it online. Then, if people buy it, you can develop it into the full-blown product you'd be proud of. You can always refund the customers who do buy at this stage if you feel there isn't enough value in the product to justify the price point you charged them during this test. I've even known some smart marketers to have nothing inside the download area for the product, apart from a note saying something like, "Thanks for your consideration. This was just a marketing test, so the product you purchased doesn't exist yet. You'll be refunded within the next few working hours, and we'll let you know when this product will become available again. We appreciate you helping us serve our audience better." Then also an automated email echoing the same thing, just so they don't miss this message and wonder what's going on. Of course, it goes without saying that you should refund them as promised too. This allows you to test different ideas and see which is the most compelling to people before putting in any kind of work to actually create the products until you know people will actually buy them. Then once you know what people are actually willing to pay for, you can go full steam ahead on creating those products. If you're doing this, you're essentially testing out your best guesses, so it may take a few different attempts and combinations to find something that works for you. It's essentially like picking a lock. Eventually you're going to find a combination that clicks with people, but if you do know what people actually want to buy because you followed the advice in the research chapter earlier in this book, I'd recommend making a list of the most popular topics people need to know about to achieve their big main goal. From that list, choose the topic that is the most requested or talked about as your front-end lowest priced offer. This helps you to acquire as many new customers as possible so they can pass through your upsell flow. For your upsells, follow the previous guidance about what these upsells should include, ensuring the topics make logical sense and don't overlap. The biggest problem I see with people's upsell flows is that they try selling a product about a topic that the customer assumes is already included in the original front-end product they've just purchased. For example, if the customer purchases a product which promises to be a complete system for weight loss, then the first upsell talks about the exercises they need to do to lose weight. This often introduces confusion in the prospect's mind, thinking, wait, isn't that already included in the main product? And a confused prospect rarely buys. Instead, try to have your upsells on completely different topics than the front-end offer, yet still related to it. This avoids the "I already have that" objections, which are all too common with most marketers. You should also ensure the upsell flow makes logical sense and follows a typical pattern of desire. An example of a bad upsell flow with bad logic would be selling people a package of guided meditations as the front-end offer, then selling them a video course about what meditation is as your first upsell. Logically, they already know what meditation is by this stage, otherwise they wouldn't have purchased the package of meditations. Then let's say the next upsell sells them more guided meditations, which is also a terrible idea because they haven't had a chance to go through the first package yet. Not great. So, how can we improve this? If they've just bought your front-end product, let's say a package of guided meditations, what would they need to do next? Actually use them. Maybe from your research, you've identified that people struggle with integrating meditation into their existing busy routine. So they eventually stop meditating and therefore lose the benefits it provides. So with this in mind, it would make sense to have your first upsell as some kind of action guide to effortlessly cement the practice of meditation into their daily routine. This complements the front-end offer perfectly as the two products work together hand in hand. After they're now able to consistently use the guided meditations due to the previous upsell, how can they get more benefit from their meditation practice? By practicing mindfulness and mindful thinking as a whole in their daily life. So, this would be a great workshop for the second upsell. Your job as the marketer is to discover what people's problems are, then see if they actually want to fix those problems, and if they do, figure out a way to integrate them into a product line that makes logical sense when ascending from one to the other. Don't be afraid to spend a day or two on this, starting with 10 to 15 minutes of research and initial thinking, then coming back to it later. The brain often generates better ideas when you're most relaxed, so don't be surprised if your winning ideas come to you in the shower or when settling down in bed. Just be sure to write your ideas down in your phone or on a notepad for later, as it's easy to forget them when your brain gets sidetracked by something else. Once you have an outline of the product suite you'll be creating, I'd recommend starting by creating the low-price product so you can start acquiring customers as soon as possible. Then you can add on the upsells as soon as they're finished. Again, the low-ticket product is not to make a profit. It would be amazing if you could, but due to the advertising costs and average conversion statistics, it's pretty difficult to do so. Instead, your profit comes from the back end, i.e. your upsells, mid-ticket offers, and other offers explained later in this book, along with any other low-priced offers you release or promote in the future. Typically, most people give up at this stage of building their online business, which is a shame because they haven't even started yet. This is simply because this value creation stage requires the most amount of effort out of all of the stages, and you'll feel like the perfect lifestyle scenario in the first chapter is a long way away. But thankfully, you only need to do this once. If you're persistent and determined, you can get all of these products finished within a few weeks. But if you procrastinate, don't find solutions to problems, or don't have much time to invest in creating them, it can take a lot longer. So again, this honestly comes down to how much of an action taker you are. I've known people to use all kinds of excuses, ranging from lack of time, when in reality they watch TV for 3 hours hours a day, which could be shortened down to 2 hours to free up an extra hour every day to work on their business, to not having enough knowledge, when in reality, they need to learn about their topic to gain the knowledge they need, and more. Don't be one of those people, otherwise you'll only continue going around in circles. If you are willing to put in the work your dreams require, then the first thing you need to do when planning out what your products will be about is something a lot of people overlook, and they usually end up making little to no sales because of it. That thing is making sure your products stand out in the marketplace in a sea of competitors. Now, this never comes down to how much of an expert you are, or even how professional your product is, but instead comes down to a simple formula. BI plus UM plus PP plus IP equals profit and freedom. I call this the prosperity formula, and using it allows any beginner to have instant authority status, branding, and positioning, even if you're just getting started. It eliminates the "how is your product different?" question from your prospects altogether, because it creates a difference, makes it blindingly obvious to people, and positions your product as the only logical solution for them. Truthfully, I've had some clients who'd never started a business before use this formula and actually surpass their competitors who've been doing this stuff for several years. The first part of the formula is BI, which stands for big idea. If I told you I ran my business to either 1, make myself rich, or 2, make a change in people's lives all over the world with a lifestyle-focused online business so we can finally live the life we deserve, which is actually our mission statement, by the way, how would each of these impact your view of me? And because of that changed view, would it change your mind about buying from me or something else from me in the future? Of course it would. Unfortunately, most businesses don't have a big idea, so their prospects assume it's the more selfish reason, i.e. this guy or gal is just after my money, which reduces their prospects' trust in them, leading to fewer sales. As soon as you have a more mission-oriented goal for the greater good, people pay attention because it's completely different to what they usually see and they want to be a part of it. This leads to increased sales across the board and more repeat customers. So I'd recommend spending around 10 to 15 minutes thinking of the mission of your business related to the goal you're helping them to achieve. Then use this in your marketing for all your products with the concept of sharing your products with the world being the way for you to achieve that goal. The second part of the formula is UM, which stands for your unique methodology. The truth is, most business owners are stuck in 2009 when trying to sell their solution, as they only talk about the end result. For example, learn how to make money online, lose weight now, or learn how to play the guitar. But this has been done to death in most niches, so prospects are tired of hearing the same old stuff all the time. It's like how movies that have the same storyline as hundreds of other movies don't sell too well, because people are bored of seeing the same stuff. For example, if I see another movie about teenagers who go to a cabin in the woods somewhere and things don't go to plan, I compare it to the many other movies with the exact same plotline, and it completely disinterests me. The same applies to your products. So, to stand out from all the other noise, you have to position your solution as being unique in some way, and the most effective way of doing that is by showcasing a unique methodology. In other words, what is different about how the end result is achieved? How many steps does it take people through? And can you think of a name for those steps, naming it something like the something method, the something formula, the five-step something system, the something principle, or anything similar? If Ryan Levesque didn't put a name to his method, the ask method, he would have stuck to something like how to ask your customers what they want so you can give it to them, which is infinitely less compelling to people. See how that works? Create a set process for people to follow, name it, then you instantly have your own unique methodology to stand out from everyone else. People can't learn your unique methodology by doing a web search for your competitors because you're the only person teaching it. This becomes even more powerful if you've actually created an entirely new process for people to follow. But it's very difficult to do and isn't really necessary. So, putting a name to the process you'll be walking people through to achieve the goal you're promising is enough to make people think, wow, I haven't heard about this before. Maybe that's what I've been missing. Next in the formula is PP, which stands for profit process. If you're wondering how you'll be persuading people who have never met you before to buy something from you, it's made super easy by something called a profit process. Think of it as an upgraded version of a sales funnel, if you've heard of that term before. We'll be talking about this concept a lot later in this book, once you've got something to sell. But for now, just know that it's a series of web pages to eliminate buying objections and ultimately persuade people to purchase your products. The final step in the prosperity formula is IP, which stands for ideal prospects. Trying to target everyone at the same time will only result in you being too broad in your marketing, leading to a lack of sales because everyone feels like it isn't a good enough fit for them. Instead, you need to choose a segment of that audience which has enough people to support a profitable business. For example, are you targeting beginners or advanced folks? Do you want to attract people who are broke or people who have money to invest in themselves and their future? Will someone with an entitlement mindset or any other serious mindset issues be mentally ready to start making massive changes? Narrowing down on your ideal prospects means you'll hit your prospects' emotional bullseye because you'll be an exact match for them, removing any doubts in their mind about buying from you. It also helps you to focus your marketing down onto the exact type of people you want to attract and help, which makes it so much easier to create content for them. When all four of these elements are in place and working correctly, we get the fifth and final part of the prosperity formula: profit and freedom. To me, this means making enough money to have vacations whenever you want, spend more time with your family, not have to worry about money anymore, and generally feel free of all the stress that the rest of society has to go through. And creating your own products with this formula in mind is the most effective and easiest way I've found to do that. Think of this process as the top-down view for creating your products. It won't take you long, but it will have the biggest impact on your sales after they're created. If your products are already compelling to people just by the sheer nature of them, you really don't need to do any hard selling at all. Next, we need to think of what these products will contain. How do you structure the advice inside them? It's usually good to use a sandwich method when creating how-to style products. First, you need to do some positive reinforcement. You should congratulate them on taking action on achieving their goals and remind them that they've made a great decision because they'll now be able to achieve XYZ. Of course, don't actually say XYZ, but replace this with the specific goals they want to achieve. This often helps to remove any buyer's remorse after the adrenaline rush of buying has passed and people get excited about actually using your product. The middle of the sandwich is the content itself. Teach them the process to get to their desired end goals. After you've walked them through the process to achieve their goals, you complete the sandwich by giving a top-down recap of what you've just taught them and what they can do next to move forward. Advanced tip: it's a good idea to have the what you can do next part as a recommendation to join your high-priced, high-value coaching or consulting service to prevent them getting stuck. But this totally depends on whether you want to do that and if you have it ready for people to buy yet. We talk about setting this up towards the end of this book. Once you have a plan for your products and what they'll contain, here's how to create the main different types of digital content for your products. 1. Ebook. This is an easy one. Simply open up Microsoft Word on PC, or Pages on Mac, or Google Docs for free on both operating systems if you don't have any of these word processors, then start typing. Because it'll be read on people's laptops, tablets, and smartphones, you can add diagrams, images, or whatever you like. Throw a photo of a cute cat in there if you like. I'd recommend getting a cover page graphic created using Fiverr.com. That's spelled F-I-V-E-R-R.com, as it'll only cost you below 10 bucks for some sellers, and having one will make your product look so much more professional. It really makes a huge difference. Just put this on the first page of your document and also use it in your marketing when promoting the product. Just keep in mind that due to the massive number of ebooks out there and their limitations at demonstrating things step by step, which a video can do better, it's difficult to sell them for above $10 nowadays, but definitely a good option if you want to add a very low ticket, entry level, $7 product to your arsenal. 2. Audio. Ever heard a Tony Robbins audio program? Or any kind of audiobook like this one? That's the kind of outcome you're going for here. It's as simple as writing a script, then recording your voice and editing out any mistakes. It's a nice midway point between writing your content and being on video. You'll only need one piece of equipment, a good microphone. Any kind of microphone or headset from your local electronics store that has a clear voice or noise cancelling feature, along with a USB connection, will be fine. I'd recommend not using your laptop's microphone, as it can often pick up a lot of background noise, and apparently customers don't want to hear your kids screaming in the other room when they're trying to listen to you. But if you want to do this properly and have your microphone last you a while, my favourite microphone for beginners is the Blue Yeti microphone. It has a super professional podcast style sound, and it's pretty inexpensive for the great build quality and audio quality you get. You can pick it up from most online stores, such as Amazon, in most parts of the world. I'm not associated with the company in any way, it's just my recommendation from other clients using the same. Of course, there are many better microphones on the market, but these often come with a much bigger price tag, and when you're just getting started, that difference in price would be better spent on acquiring customers. Your audio can be recorded using Camtasia Studio, both PC and Mac, if you already have it, and or plan to record videos in the future, as this prevents you from having to buy multiple programs and therefore minimizes cost in these early stages of setting up your online business. Alternatively, you can use a specialist audio editing program like Adobe Audition if you don't mind the bigger learning curve to get a more professional outcome. Be sure to do a few test runs for a few minutes before the actual recording, making sure everything is recording correctly. You wouldn't believe the number of times I've presented something for 30 plus minutes only to realize my audio wasn't set up to record properly, or worse, I had my microphone on mute. Then it's simply a matter of presenting your material as if you were showing something to a valued friend. After that, you're then free to edit the recording if needed. Your first attempt may be pretty awkward and frustrating, but it gets easier with practice, to the point where having your voice recorded becomes second nature. Although audio programs are often seen to contain more value than a written PDF, they still lag behind the perceived value of a video-based training program. Speaking of which, 3. Video. Video is the king of content, no doubt, and it's only going to become more common. There are two types of videos you can create, and which one you choose will depend on your confidence. Your first option is a video focused around presentation slides, e.g. PowerPoint. You never appear on camera, and all the audience sees is you talking them through a series of presentation slides with a voiceover audio track. This is a great option if you're scared of being on camera camera, and a way to start feeling comfortable with the video creation process. To do this, you just need some kind of presentation software like PowerPoint for Windows or Keynote for Mac, again using Google Slides for free if you don't have access to a semi-recent version of either of those. Then it's just a matter of creating the slides based on what you'd like to say. Here are a few important tips for this based on 11 plus years of recording these types of videos. 1. Make sure you change the slide size or layout to match your screen. Otherwise, you'll get black borders on either side of your slides, which looks pretty amateur. In recent versions of PowerPoint, the setting to change this is found in the Design menu, but feel free to do a quick web search for this if you're unsure. 2. Don't write an entire script for everything you want to say on screen. Otherwise, people will just read ahead on the screen and get bored of waiting for you to catch up. Instead, just write short bullets to remind yourself of what to say and speak off the cuff. This will also sound a lot more natural and friendly, instead of sounding rigid and robotic when reading from a script. 3. Don't have all the bullets show up on screen at the same time, otherwise people will still read ahead. Fix this by using the animation option to have each bullet fade onto the screen when you click your mouse cursor or press the right arrow on your keyboard. 4. Be sure to decorate your slides with images that are relevant, as most people need to be entertained while they're learning to remain interested. 5. Show examples and talk about your own experiences to reinforce your points. Don't be afraid to show your personality too, as this is what makes your products yours. Once your slides are created, it's time to get ready for the voiceover. You'll need a microphone for this, but the same recommendations given previously for the audio format apply here too. So, revisit that if you skipped over it. Ready? You can use something like Camtasia Studio for both Windows and Mac to record the slides and your audio at the same time. Just like the audio program, be sure to hit record and do a few test runs for a few minutes, making sure everything is recording properly. Then, present your material as if you were showing something to a valued friend. After that, you're then free to edit the recording if needed. Don't worry if you make any mistakes, as these can be easily edited out of the recording. If I get tongue-tied while presenting, I just restart the sentence and edit it afterwards. We all mess up, but the whole process does get easier with more practice. At first, I would screw up my speaking around 20 times per minute of video, as I had zero speaking experience, and the thought of presenting anything to anyone terrified me more than having no turkey on Christmas Day. My recordings were often unusable because of all the edits I had to make, but over time, this became less frequent, and I was able to show my personality on video instead of just getting the job done. I used this method of creating videos for around 5 years before I built up the confidence to use the second option of recording videos, real life videos. They can often be daunting for somebody who isn't used to recording themselves on video, but they always massively boost your credibility, authority status, and customer satisfaction if you have the confidence to try them out. At first, I would shoot my videos on my smartphone, which worked well for several years. Then after a while, I upgraded to a DSLR camera, which I bought used from Amazon.com to save money on a new camera. But this wasn't totally necessary, and many great courses have been shot on a smartphone camera. Just be sure to use a tripod, again available on Amazon and most other electronic stores, to keep the camera steady, as there's nothing worse than feeling seasick from watching a wobbly camera being held by the spouse of the presenter, occasionally asking, "Is this okay?" With the tripod, be sure to position yourself in the center of the camera frame, with a small gap between the top of your head and the top of the frame. This is the most basic way of shooting video tutorials, and it looks much better than a portion of your head being chopped off the screen. Another important thing to consider is your lighting. I used to record my videos facing a window to get as much natural light as possible, as in short, this helps the camera to record the footage in the best quality possible. Without any graininess or flickering in the footage due to it trying to compensate for the low levels of light. You can also have your back to a blank wall or any kind of clean household background, like your living room, dining room, office, etc. I say clean because ideally you don't want any dirty laundry on show, or to give anyone an excuse to email you with, "Clean your house!" Finally, you'll want to try to minimize any kind of outside noise. This is easier said than done, especially if you live in a busy area. But the less background noise you have, the more professional your videos will feel. So if you struggle with noise, it may be worth going to a soundproofed video recording studio for a few hours. Once recorded, your videos can be edited within Camtasia Studio or Adobe Premiere if you don't mind the huge learning curve for a more professional outcome. With the correct video quality, lighting, setting, and content, your videos will look amazing, and you'll often surprise yourself at the amount of positive feedback you get. The biggest mistake I made with my first product was having everything in one video lasting for over 2 hours. I had a ton of complaints saying they didn't have time to go through the content, and a ton of refund requests because they saw me as charging $97 for quote-unquote one video, and they didn't see the value there. So after that, I learned it's often best to split up your content into smaller videos, lasting between 10 to 20 minutes long, rather than just one giant video lasting 2 to 3 hours. People have short attention spans, and often find it overwhelming to go through something that long. But split it up into smaller chunks, and they feel like they're making more progress when they're able to move on to the next video. Plus, they can easily remember where they left off in the previous sitting. Something that helps me plan out what each individual video should be about, i.e. at which point to split the videos up, is this. Think about your prospect's journey to their end goal. They'll most likely have stepping stones to their big goal. Each stepping stone is a separate video. If the stepping stone is a big topic, split it up into smaller stepping stones so they don't feel overwhelmed. Simple. 4. Software. Software has a massive perceived value because prospects feel it removes the element of human error. However, it does have the highest barrier to entry out of all product formats because you either need to be a programmer or hire a programmer. There are some design your own software type software solutions available out there, but these are often very limited and it's usually pretty difficult to achieve what you want with them. So usually, what most people do is hire a programmer from Upwork.com. That's spelled UPWORK.com or similar, and get them to create the software for you. However, this does come at a cost. It's usually the most expensive option out of all these options, with most simple software programs running up development costs of multiple thousands of dollars, and more complex software programs costing upwards of 5 to 6 figures. So, for this reason, I usually prefer creating and delivering my content in the video format. Once you have your products created in the relevant format, you need a way to deliver them to the customer automatically as soon as the payment goes through. This avoids you having to sit at your desk all day waiting to send orders to people. You could be at the beach, out for lunch, or anywhere, and your system is always working for you to give customers what they've paid for. This also ensures the customer gets a good experience, meaning you get to keep most of the sales you make instead of losing a great portion of them to refunds. I've known launches with bad products and terrible product delivery to have refund rates upwards of 60%, which is ridiculous. But when done correctly, you should keep around 95 to 98% of the sales you make, depending on your niche and many other factors. When I started doing this, I would simply email the customer a link to a web page with a weird name that people couldn't possibly guess unless they were some kind of genius, like www.digitalprosperity.com/download1587.html. But then I found out that customers were sharing this page with their friends on social media, so people who didn't pay were getting access to the product for free. Plus, there was nothing stopping people from buying the product to find out the URL where the product was delivered, then refunding, and still having access to the product. Not ethical or cool. Plus, if people had bought multiple multiple products, they were always losing the different URLs for each product. So instead, I discovered it's best to keep everything together in one dedicated members area. We use a subdomain called members for our dedicated members area, making the URL members.digitalprosperity.com, which looks clean and tidy. But this can be named whatever you like. Inside it, you should have a navigation menu leading to the following pages. 1. A welcome or home page. When they visit your members area, they'll often feel a little lost and overwhelmed with all the possible options. So, this page gives them a general introduction to your dedicated customers area where they can find their purchased products, more on this later, and also reinforce their decision to become a customer by restating the benefits they can now achieve with your products. So, for example, now you're a member of the coolest club on earth, you'll be able to effortlessly train your dog to obey your every command, meaning no more embarrassments with the neighbors and a more peaceful home life. Just adding a paragraph or two like this into our members area reduced the refund rates of our products by a noticeable amount. Speaking of which, you'll also need 2. A support page. When people have questions, they're going to be looking for a way to contact you, so it makes sense to put it in plain sight. However, you can drastically cut down on the amount of support tickets you have to respond to by anticipating and answering their questions before they even submit a ticket. This is why we have a frequently asked questions or FAQ section show up when they click the support link in the navigation menu. We go through the usual questions like, the videos are stopping and starting, how do I fix this? I've lost my login details, how do I get them back? And so on. We're always expanding this section with the questions we get asked by our customers. We also use this FAQ section as a way to overcome common objections or common reasons for buyer's remorse, as sometimes the customer will be looking to contact your support desk to ask for a refund. However, if you help them with their problem before they submit a support ticket, refund averted. As an example, a common reason for a refund in our industry is, I don't have enough time to implement the steps. So, we created a tutorial which explains how to build a business from scratch on a busy schedule. Essentially, around 10 minutes of productivity and time management training, and added a link to it in the FAQ section. Suddenly, we started seeing fewer refund requests because of this reason. The total implementation time was around 30 minutes. Not too bad, right? Not only does adding this FAQ section cut down on the amount of support inquiries we receive, but it also helps the customer instantly because they no longer have to wait for a reply to their ticket. So it's a win-win. Then, of course, we add a link to the actual support page on our main website at the bottom of this FAQ section, which they can visit if their question wasn't answered by the FAQs. 3. A products section. This is where we actually deliver the products they've purchased. If it's something people need to download, like a PDF report, audio file, or similar, you can simply upload it to your hosting account using your cPanel or an FTP program like FileZilla, which is free. Being sure to upload it somewhere in the public_HTML folder if you have one, otherwise it won't work. I typically create a folder called Downloads within my public_HTML folder where I upload all my downloadables. Once uploaded, simply give a brief introduction to the product and link to the file within your hosting account. If you follow the above recommendation to upload it into a folder called Downloads, the link to the file should be www.yourwebsite.com/downloads/whatever-the-name-of-the-report-is.pdf, as each folder is a /, obviously replacing your domain name and name of the file. If you actually try following these steps and find the whole process too technical, you can always find somebody on fiverr.com, once again that is fiverr.com, to do it for you for a very low price. Sometimes it's better to get things out of the way than spending several days pulling your hair out over something small like this. For videos, it's often best to upload them to a video hosting service. I prefer Vimeo.com, that's spelled V-I-M-E-O.com, as their lowest price plan usually fits most people's needs. Then, embed the videos in your members area, one video per page. Then you'll be able to create a navigation menu through each page, i.e. video, to make it easy to navigate. When your products are presented in a dedicated members area in this way, the customer feels like they've received more value than just being emailed a .zip file with everything inside. Not to mention it's easier for them to follow and prevents overwhelming them. But what's to stop people sharing this web address and having everyone accessing your paid products for free? The beauty of WordPress is that you can add plugins, which are simple add-ons to enhance the functionality of your website. In this case, we can add a content protection plugin. There are many of them available, including Wishlist Member, Optimize Member, S2 Member, and others, but we've always used Active Member 360. That's at ActiveMember360.com for our clients due to it being easy to use and well integrated with ActiveCampaign, our recommended email list service. It also comes with a free trial too, which is always good. This software may not be the lowest price solution out of the alternatives, but if you consider yourself a complete technophobe, it is usually the easiest solution to set up and use. But it's completely up to you. Personally, we started with Active Member 360, then transitioned over to iMember 360 when we upgraded our email newsletter service, or autoresponder, to Infusionsoft, as it integrates better and has way more features. But this is only applicable if you're using Infusionsoft, which will probably only be useful to you if you're making above $5,000 in profit per month. Using any of these content protection plugins, you can create member profiles and member levels to be assigned to their profiles. This way, you can have one level per product. Restrict that product's pages only to people who have the level assigned to their profile, and set up the content restriction plugin to automatically assign the level to their profile immediately after their purchase, so they can access the products right away. Those that don't have the relevant membership level assigned to their profile will be given a page which says something like, "Sorry, you don't have permission to access this page." So, for example, when I created the Prosperity Formula, I did the following. 1. Added the product to the members area. 2. Created a membership level with an Active Member 360 called the Prosperity Formula. 3. For each page of the product within the members area, in the setting that says page protection, I simply checked the box for the Prosperity Formula. This essentially tells the system to only allow people who have the membership level named the Prosperity Formula to access this page. I then just set up my customer follow-up sequence within ActiveCampaign to automatically add a tag named Customer, the Prosperity Formula, to the customer's profile when their purchase is successful, and also the same for the other products they purchase after that too. ActiveCampaign then checks for these tags when the customer logs into their account and grants them access to the content depending on which tags they have. If you'd like a more step-by-step process, this is all covered in the setup tutorials on ActiveMember 360's website. Now, if your head is spinning with all the technical stuff, you can get away with not setting up any kind of content protection during the early stages of your business, as the likelihood of people sharing your products on a mass scale is pretty slim. However, this is something you'll need to do eventually, especially when you get a larger fan base, so it may be worth hiring someone to set it up for you if you can't seem to figure it out yourself. So now we have a place for your customers to access their purchased digital products, and optionally a way to give access to your customers and lock everyone else out. But how do they actually discover the members area? Well, the members area should be presented to them at the very end of the upsell process, although unfortunately, not everyone is going to follow the upsell process through to the end during their order, as some people will just close the window and be left wondering how they access what they've just paid for. That's where your email follow-up sequence comes in. Your email follow-up sequence is a sequence of automated emails which are sent to somebody one after another with any delay you specify. We usually recommend ActiveCampaign to our clients because of their huge number of automation features. Just be sure to slide the contact slider to the far left on the pricing page and go for the lowest priced option when starting out, as it can get pretty expensive if you choose the more advanced packages. In this case, we want the first email to be sent immediately, the second email to be sent the day after they join, and the third email to be sent the day after that, and so on, so one day apart. In a customer follow-up sequence, there are three goals achieved in this order. 1. To ensure they have accessed what they've paid for. 2. To reduce refunds. And 3. To make more sales of your other products. Note here how the first step isn't just to give them access to what they've paid for, but instead to ensure they have accessed it. In 11 years of studying tens of thousands of customers' behavior, we found that people who never access the product are more likely to refund because they don't see the value for the money they paid. And of course, once this happens, these people have very little chance of buying something from you again. But as soon as they actually access the product, instead of it gathering digital dust, their likelihood of refunding goes way down, assuming you have a good product designed to actually help them, that is. But this should always be the case. That's why we have a series of emails which are added to an automation within ActiveCampaign, which goes out like this. Email 1. Instantly after their order is submitted successfully, reinforce their decision to purchase. Congratulations, you've made a great decision, and so on. Then give them their login details for the members area, tell them how to access their purchased products within the members area, restate the benefits of how the products will help them now they have access to it, and let them know they can reply to the email if they have any issues. Email 2, the following day. Check they received their login details yesterday, ask them to reply to the email if they didn't, then explain the different parts of the members area to them. Email 3. 2 days after their order. Share some previous success stories, i.e. testimonials, from other people following or using the product, letting them know that they can achieve similar results if they follow the steps. Give them motivation and inspire them. Email 4. 3 days after their order. Answer the most common objections or complaints you get within the email itself to prevent buyer's remorse, now that their excitement of buying a new product has passed. For example, how do I make this work if I'm a complete beginner? I don't have much time to implement this stuff. What do I do? I don't have much money to make this work, and so on. Obviously, some of these examples will be more relevant to you than others, depending on your niche, but the important thing is to anticipate what people's objections are going to be and listen to your customers when they email you with a problem. Email 5, 5 days after their order. Send them some bonus content which leads into another product you want them to buy. In other words, don't just hard sell something else, but instead help them with some bonus content at no extra cost that makes them have a desire for that other product or service. Personally, I promote an automated webinar for my coaching program here, as this still delivers value but ends with a recommendation to apply for it, so it's a win-win. Plus, it works better than anything else we've tested. But again, selling higher-priced solutions is covered towards the end of this book. Email 6. 6 days after their order. Promote the same content as yesterday if they didn't click the link, using different copy to reinforce different benefits. You can set up this type of behavior-based marketing with most good autoresponders, including ActiveCampaign, Infusionsoft, and I believe Aweber 2, and many others. Email 7. 7 days after their order. If you're promoting a webinar, send them another email promoting it, using a last chance to get it type marketing angle if possible. Give them a reason to take action now rather than leaving it until later, which never comes. Or if you've been sending them some other types of free content, e.g. a video, PDF or similar, then now you can persuade them to buy the main product in a way that links back to what they purchased originally. In other words, explain the ways in which this new product complements the original product. It goes without saying that all these emails should be sent from an email address that can actually accept incoming emails, i.e. not a no-reply type email address. Using this sequence, our refund rates dropped from around 10% to around 2 to 3%, and around 5% of our $27 purchasers go on to pay $3,000 to become a coaching client, whereas the industry average for this is around 1 to 2%. So it's pretty awesome. Now you have your products finished and everything is set up to deliver them, you obviously need a way to sell them. But how?